a tremendous push to have with us the Rabbi Shiva from the Meir Yeshiva. I was zochet to learn over 30 years ago in this year, and I was the age of most of you, and I can't begin to tell you that I still feel the impact of the time that I spent learning. I remember my professor talked to the Shiva for the shyness and the kurva that he's had with me and my family over the years, and you realize how busy Rav Shiva is, literally, with Sarfi Tzibur on all levels, individuals and organizations, besides the regular shiurim. It's a tremendous push for us that Rebbe has taken time out, and he's done it already for several years, to share the Torah with us, the Rishizot, the Rishorus, the Yom Neroyim. It's a great cover to introduce the Rebbe Buddha Shita to share with us the Rishorus.
Thank you very much. I want to say that it says I know what kind of a long day you've all had. Long day, and coming to the Beis Medrash at 10 o'clock, I see people learning Musa and congregating around people, getting baden in Musa. And then to Davar Ma'ariv, and after 10:30 at night, to come to hear a guest speaker speak about Inyanei Tshuva and Inyanim of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. It's something very special. It's going beyond what anybody would expect. And it's a chus for yourself, and it's a chus for Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is watching what's going on in these 10 days. And if there's a group of young men as committed as you are to get another drop of Aseres Chizuk, something that's might conceivably be useful in the quality of avodah that we're going to accomplish on Yom Kippur, and for that people are willing to take out of time that they don't really have, that's a major message, and it's a message that I'm sure in Shemayim resonates, and to me it's very humbling to watch. So go with your koiches and go maila maila. Keep on making a nachas ruach for the Ribbono Shel Olam, and continue being mekadshei shem shemayim. I want to speak a little bit about how the concept of bechira ties in to the avodas hatshuva, which I'm sure many of you know. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva sets aside Perek Hei, Perek Vav, and a little bit of Perek Zion to establish the cardinal of our faith, that a person has bechira and the choice to go in any direction he wants. A person has bechira to do the inappropriate, and he has the bechira to do what Hashem wants. And how that ties in the person's avodas hatshuva. So I just want to start with a little aura, which I'm sure any thinking person stops. But many times it takes a while till you just notice this. We've been saying vidui every day since lichas began. I'm sure yeshiva over here davens Ashkenaz, so you don't say vidu very regularly, but we're coming up to Yom Kippur, and we're going to say vidu many times over Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur, the night of Yom Kippur, the day of Yom Kippur, and all the tefillos, we're going to be saying vidu twice, each time in tefillos halachash and the tefillos hashat. How does vidu begin? How does our nusach of vidu begin? And it's not a nusach that we know, that it's a nusach of Kadmainim, from the time of Anshek Nesel Sagdoyla, basically. Elokeinu v'elokei avi seinu. Start with a tefillah. Tavei lefanecha tefillah seinu. Our tefillah should come before you. The Alta Salam mitchina seinu. Don't ignore. Don't make yourself not hear tchina seinu. And now we're giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu the reason why he should heed our prayer. and why you should notice what we're saying. Because she'eino nu azei fonim. We're not audacious. We don't have the audacity. Loim alafanecha to say in front of you, Hashem alokeinu v'lokei avoseinu, tzadikim anachnu, we're righteous, v'lo chatanu, and we haven't sinned. In other words, we could have said, we don't know why we're here, b'chlal. What are we doing tshuva for? We never did anything wrong. But we're not doing that. We're standing before you very contrite and very honest. Avol, in truth, anachnu, me, ba'avoseinu, and even our fathers and forefathers, and we say chatanu and ashamnu and vagadnu. It's almost a ridiculous way to begin vidu, expecting credit for not stepping up in front of Hashem and denying that we're culpable in any which way. Could have just said, had the azus panim and the kshei yoyrev loim alefanecha to say in front of you loy chatanu, we've never sinned. Avol, no, in truth, chatanu, we did sin. How does one relate to these words? And this is what we're asking for this reason. For being open and honest, we expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reciprocate and give us a slicha. And that's how the tefillah begins. And we say it in every tefillah. Sometimes we say, okay, no, okay, I'm a sinner. And sometimes we say, "On the tovil of fanecha tfilasein uva al tesalam netchinasein." But that's the nusach. So obviously, what does it mean? Does it mean that I am denying that I ever stepped out of line? I was never ever even at the rabbanon in Eden, or I never did something that I shouldn't have done. I didn't have any thoughts that I shouldn't have had. I didn't do any deeds that I shouldn't have done. Whether it's between Hashem, between myself and Hashem, Beinodom Lamakom, or between me and fellow man, Beinodom Lechaver. What is this Akdom? But if we think into it, we're relatively complacent tonight, Monday night. Four nights before Friday night, when we're going to be in the Yom HaDin, Yom Tzom Kippur Yechaseinu, we're going to have to give an account. Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Neisim, Psuchim. We're all relatively complacent. I don't think anybody over here is in distress. I'm certainly embarrassed to say, but I'm not. I'm pretty okay. We're all doing okay. Why are we all okay? Because obviously we're not afraid of what Yom Kippur is. Why are we not afraid? We all believe in Yom Kippur. We all believe that Hashem is sitting in judgment. So obviously we'll be okay. We'll do all right in the judgment. We did so in the past, so we'll continue to do so. But how does one rationalize why we're going to be okay? Why do we rationalize that we're going to be okay? Because we're in denial. I never didn't do anything wrong since last Yom Kippur. At Yom Kippur, we've never done anything wrong. Lo chatanu. What I think is because at the core we really think, of course we've done all these things. Basically, we're doing the best we could. Actually, we're doing the best we could under the circumstances. This is the best I could do. I'm an American kid. I grew up in the U.S. of A. The world out there. For the first time, probably since Golus Yerushalayim, which is almost 2,000 years, we're living in a very, very embracing society. Regular good members in society. We could wear a kippah, no problem. We could wear our tzitzis out, no problem. We could do whatever we want, no problem. If you want to wear a black hat, design a black hat. We're all accepted in society. And it's a very, you know, it's not a very spiritual society, to put it this way. Not a very idealistic society. And compared to the exposure that we have, and compared to the ruach of the times we're living in, and compared to what's out there, we're good guys. And pretty much, we're giving it our max. So, of course, I'm remiss. Another thing I'm remiss, and I'm falling short. And this I shouldn't have done, and this I could have made, maybe. But all in all, there's a tremendous temptation. I would say more than a temptation, an inclination. I'd say, Loi chatanu. Chatanu doesn't mean the actual deed. Chatanu means the responsibility for the deed. Guilty. I'm not guilty. You could plead not guilty to the whole thing the police made up. But you could also plead not guilty. Yeah, they got me. Then I have my fingerprints, and it's true. But I couldn't do anything about it. I was anonymous. You know, just innocent by whatever, you know, insanity. There are different ways why one is innocent. I couldn't resist. I'm human. I couldn't resist. I couldn't say no. I just couldn't. I tried. I couldn't. And if we step up and we say no, I'm not saying tzaddikim anachnu. I'm not pleading innocent. I'm standing before you and I'm pleading guilty. Which means it is my fault. I am responsible. I could have done better. So we could go to Hashem and say, we don't have azut panim. We don't have chutzpah. We're not shameless in front of Hashem. No, we're contrite. Chatan. We are guilty. And then we begin the Yom Kippur. And then we begin the Vidui. And then we get to work. I think that's Pashut Pshat. I don't know of a better Pshat, and I think that's Pashut Pshat. But if we think deep into it and be honest with ourselves, the reason we're all complacent is because on a certain level, we really don't feel much guilt and shame stepping up and going into Yom Kippur. We're giving it our best. And you know who makes this point very sharply? The Rambam. Rambam takes three psukim in, say, in Megillas Eicha, Perek Gimel. He says, "Mipi Elyon lo teitzei aros v'hatoy." Evil and good is not dictated from Shemayim. Says a person has full freedom of choice to act in the way he acts. He could have acted the way he's supposed to, and he could act the way he's not supposed to. It's not Mipi Elyon. So I have nobody else to blame but myself. If my actions caused me to stumble, and I'm not in a good place, I have nobody else to blame but myself. My yisoinin, Zog the Rambam, the next pasuk. My yisoinin Adam Chai. Gever al Chatov. You have nothing to complain. It's all you. You could have done better. You could have been in a better place. And you didn't have to choose the path you chose. And that's why now with Megillas Eicha, we're taking responsibility for the destruction of Yerushalayim, for going out to Golos, for being chased out of Eretz Yisrael. Why? It's our fault. The deterioration which took place over the centuries of living in the Bayis Rishon and then in the Bayis Sheni, and we went down. Now that we're out and we're mourning the Churban, we're contrite and we're taking account. And the Kohen says, The Pielion lo zeifi. It's not Hashem. It's you. And the Rambam says, and therefore your roy lifkos. You have to cry. Roy lifkos. It's good that you're crying, and it's good that you're mourning, and it's good that you're doing b'chay tifke v'alayla because it's your fault. And then the Rambam goes to the second part, and because it's a fact that a person has full freedom of choice. The good news is that he has the freedom of choice to do tshuva, no matter where he finds himself and how bad he stumbled. He has the freedom of choice to do tshuva, and that's the next pasuk. Nach besod rochenu v'nach koyva v'nashuva ad Hashem. This is all Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Dalet. But the Rambam, Perek Hei, the Rambam is very sharp over there. He's very harsh in judgment, the way he describes the people that don't fully accept as fact and as an axiom in life the fact that a person has full bechira, a person has full choice. And there's nothing, no heavenly force dictating his way of life. It's all him and nothing else. So the Rambam goes like this. Rishus kol adam nesun aloi. Person is given control over his actions. If he wants to go to Derech Tova and be a tzaddik, he has that control. And if he wants to go to Derech Ra and to be a Rasha, he has that control. He brings a pasuk in Bereishis. And then he says something. Al yavor b'machshavtecha. It shouldn't pass through your mind. Dover zeh. She'omrim tipshei ha'umais. The fools of the nations. And in Perish HaMishnayis, and a little bit later, these fools were the chachamim of that time. He calls them the boidim milibam atipshim hoivrei shamayim, the astrologers, which at that time was a tremendous chachma in the times of the Rambam in those early times. And he says they have it all worked out that if a person is born in a mazel, in a particular mazel, that's going to affect his behavior, and that's going to affect his instincts, and that's going to affect the way he works, the way his life is going to go. And he says that is a tipshus. And the human sa'ilam that believe in that, they're the tipshei ha'umais, the fools of the nations. And he goes a step further and he says, V'roiv goyl mei Yisrael. A majority of Goyal Me Yisrael. Now Goyalim, we look at those of you that are a little familiar in Yiddish or Yiddish literature, a Goyalim is like an epithet almost, but not in the Rambam and Perish HaMishnayis. The Rambam and Perish HaMishnayis by the Shiva Dvarim B'Chacham and Shiva Dvarim B'Goyalim, the Rambam has people in five different categories. A boor, an amoretz, and only then comes a goylem, then a chacham, then a chassid. So goylem was pretty good. The way the Rambam describes him, he's an intellectual as far as Torah seems to be, a little bit. He also seems to be a person with midos. He works on his midos. He doesn't have it completely together. The chacham has it completely together, but a goylem is the notch below a chacham. So he calls Rav Goyal Mei Yisrael, which is probably a majority of the Jewish people, also buy into this falsehood. And what is the falsehood? Sha'kadosh Baruch Hu goyzer ala adam mitchilas b'riyasa. That a person is born with certain traits and certain compulsions and certain instincts that compel him to choose a good path or a evil path in life. And the Rambam says, "Ain't that dovekain? It's not true. It's not true, and it shouldn't be over b'machshavtecha. Because the Rambam knows once that thought will pass through your head, that's a very comforting thought. So the Rambam doesn't want us to even allow that thought to pass through our mind. It's so comforting. It's so soothing. But it's not true. So why comfort yourself and why soothe yourself with a falsehood? He doesn't want us to do it. And then he repeats and he reiterates that no, we all have freedom of choice. And therefore, where we're up to today is our fault. And then he says, the good news is that we have the ability to institute change and go towards a meaningful tshuva. And reads it into the psalm. But the truth is, it's hard for us to accept this. A person knows himself. He knows his struggles. And he feels limited. And the Rambam tells him that it's your fault. It's very confusing because your therapist tells you it's not your fault. But the Rambam tells you it is your fault. So what are we missing? What are we missing? And that's very important. I'd like to spend a few minutes discussing that. The Rambam is very clear. It's at the end of the day, it's your fault. And the second thing he says is, you can do it. He's telling you it's 5-4 days before Yom Kippur. You could do it. You could go for it. You do have Bechira. You could go for it. I could go for it. I know my limits. I'm not a kid. I'm a college boy, man. I'm not a kid. Mishkin Yingle. You're telling me I could do it. You could tell an 8-year-old he could do it. But don't tell me. I'm already going for my master's, maybe. You're telling me I could do it. What's the pshat? So we have to figure out these Umas Ha'olam and these Roiv Goyim Mei Yisrael who are not clowns. They're respectable people. And they're respectable people both in their wisdom and respectable people probably in their norms of behavior. Respectable. And the Goyimim clearly are better people. They're people that struggle. They're not reaching the Madreig of Chacham. They keep on falling short. But they're the upstanding people. What are they missing? So I want to discuss 2 points. The whole concept of Rabbeinu Yoina writes about tshuva, V'yazor Hashem lashovim. Hashem is going to help a Baal tshuva reach his goals. Kasher ein yad tivam maseges. Where his hand, his natural abilities fall short, Hashem will get him there. So that you don't have to limit your ambitions in tshuva to yad teva, to what your nature, what you consider your nature is, and access. And stop and say, no, my nature, naturally, I can't access that improvement. That level of improvement, I can't access naturally. And that right away stops a person from going for it. And Rabbeinu Yoina tells him, no. Yazor Hashem Lashovim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps the Baal Tshuva Karsher ein yad tiva maseges, where his natural abilities end, then Hashem takes over and gives him siyata d'shmaya. It's always that way. Tzoyfer rasha latzadik umevakei shamis. The yetzahara, the evil inclination, causes, pushes, and presses a person towards destruction. Ilmole HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't intercede on his behalf, lo yachol. But there is a thing called Siyata Deshmayim. You do what you do. Chazal say an amazing expression. Pisuli Pesach, open me a little door, a little hole. Kechudoi Shalmachat, like the little hole in a needle where you push through the thinnest of threads. Vani Eftach Lachem, I'm going to open a door for you. Kepiskoi Shaluma, like the gates of a palace. So, Siyata Deshmaya is a component in our approach to tshuva. We could do it because if we want, Hashem is going to walk us there. So therefore, we do have bechira, and we're not potter from trying. Bechira does not mean that I'll do it through nature. I'll do what I could do, but Hashem is going to get me there. And that's all part of Bechira. That's where tefillah kicks in. This is where commitment above and beyond limitation. Of course, you can't commit to what's ridiculous. I'm going to do Shas, Bavli, Yerushalmi, and all the brises, and I'll do it by Chanukah. Because I'll have Siyata Deshmaya. That's not what it means. But reasonable upward mobility in Avodas Hashem. Every person has to work this out internally. But you can't stifle yourself from going for it because you feel constrained by nature's constraints. The Rishonim knew nature, and they knew there's a concept called Yat Tiva. And they knew that that's not the end of the road, that's the beginning of the road. Yazer Hashem Lashavim Ka'asher Ein Yat Tiva Maseges. Where do you think Rabbeinu Yonah knew it from? From the Chazal. You open a little needle hole, and I'll walk you through a door. So that's one thing that the astrologers missed. And the person that's not a chacham, and he's still a golem, is also missing. And that's why he feels a person is compelled and constrained by nature. And that's not true. Nature doesn't dictate a person's ability to do the right thing. There's something that transcends nature. And that's Yazar Hashem. Ezra HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Siyata Deshmaya. That's the literal translation of the help of Hashem. There's a beautiful expression of the Rambam. Rambam says in Hilchos Chanukah that we don't say Hallel Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, because the Gemara says, because the Sfarim of Chaim and Misa are open, so it's inappropriate to say Hallel on such days. And now to have that level of joy. Rambam says it a little different, because these are days set aside for tshuva, for Yerushamayim, for pachat, fear of Hashem. So Simcha Yisera, the level of joy that's required to say Hallel doesn't coexist with that. The Rambam in Masechta Rosh Hashanah goes beyond that. He says a whole list of adjectives explaining what these days are. Yemei Avoda, Yemei Yira, Yemei Pachad, Yemei Tshuva, Yemei Hadar Gaono. And then he says, Yemei Monois, Yemei Mivrach, when the scope of what the Yom HaDin is all about hits a person, he can't find himself a place. So he has a instinct to run. But then he realizes, where am I going to run? Where is there to run? Yonah ben Amittai tried to run. But you could run, but you can't hide, like they say. And he was caught. He ended up in the Me'ah Dagon. Nowhere to run. Can't run from Hashem. So Mivrach Eilo. Mivrach Monois Eilo. Then you turn to Hashem. Somehow you turn to Hashem. Reb Shloime Evin Gviril in his Shir writes a similar expression. Mivrach Monois Eilo. Evrach, I think Reb Shloime Evin Gviril writes an expression. Evrach Mimcha, I'm going to run away from you, but where am I going to run? Eilecha, to you. So what happens when you run to Hashem? How is that a contradiction to Hallel? Adarav. If Hashem has this tent, this embracing big tent, where we could all hide in that tent, Betzel Knofecha Yechasayun, so let's say Hallel. Why is that a... The Teretz is, that's not a... There's no special tent. Ir Miklot, where you could come in and find a safe halfway house and a safe haven by Hashem. It doesn't work that way. What the monos means is that you have a place to run for tshuva. You're lost. You feel helpless. You feel helpless. You feel hopeless. Mivra. And then you realize, just trust in Hashem. He'll get you there. You start the work. He'll move you forward. But that's all the early steps in a tshuva process. So of course, that word alone is a contradiction to Hallel, because those words alone are words of avoda, words of tremendous work. To get yourself in a level of work that that triggers a level of siyata d'shmaya. That's difficult work, and that's a contradiction to saying Hallel on that day. Evrach mimcha eilecha. Monois, mivrach umonois eilo. So that's a very important mindset as we approach Yom Kippur. Yes, we're limited. We're limited by natural limitations. But that doesn't define the potential for tshuva. Limitations don't stifle the ability for tshuva. You do what you have to do, Hashem walks you further. A person could undertake, within reason, within logic, undertakings that he taka feels a certain level of the impossible. It's impossible before Yazar Hashem. But the Yazar, the Yogim, the Yoshia, the Cholach, it becomes possible. In that world, in the world of Siyata Deshmaya, the impossible becomes possible. And I think that that's part of the tefillah we said on Rosh Hashanah and Zechroinus. When you're standing in front of Hashem, and the scope of Zechroinus, Ufanecha Niglu Kol Talumais, all the hidden things, the Amoinus Torah's liberations, Ein Shikha Nelufnei Chisei Chavoydecha, the Ein Mister, nothing is hidden, Meneged Einecha, it's nothing. Nothing ever escaped Hashem's notice. That's difficult. Nothing escaped His notice. And then you start realizing our Medinos Boya Omer, and Hashem judges all the Medinas, and you know what's going on in this Medina and that Medina and a third Medina. Overnight, what could happen to a country, and what could happen to a state, and what could happen to a commonwealth in minutes. And what happens to a human with a snap of a finger? People were walking around complacent and healthy. No problems, and the world could turn over in minutes and seconds. Whether it's an accident or illness, whatever, We all know we're living in a real world. So the person understands the scope of what Hashem's notice. Nothing escapes his notice. And nothing is beyond his abilities. And he's right now sitting in judgment. So that's so overwhelming that the compulsion is Evrach. Where do I go from here? So what does the Machzor say? Ashrei ish lo yishkachek. Fortunate is the person that doesn't forget you. Uben Adam and the man that yis'ameitz boch, that strengthens himself with you. Why? Because kidor shecha, those who seek you, la'olam lo yikashelu, are never going to stumble. And I'm never going to be embarrassed forever. Whoever finds safety and a safe haven by you. And that's basically all the Machzor says. He doesn't tell you that in this overwhelming moment, start changing and start making dramatic changes. That's the next step. But the first step is to find safety by Hashem. Find a safe place where you're changes will be implemented. Because under Hashem's umbrella, change that one would deem superficially impossible become possible, become doable, become achievable. And that's the bitachon in my ability to do it based on the concept of siyata d'shmaya. Too long? You sure? You're taking achrayis for their sleep? A few more minutes, or the other one's tired? We could go a few more minutes? There's one more component. Of course, that's also under the umbrella of siyata d'shmaya. But that's where you guys come in. 11:30 or whatever it is at night, after a long day, mishmer, and the night Seder, and a Seder after the Seder. This is special for the Ben Torah. The Tipshei Umas Ha'olam, why are they Tipshei? The Rambam doesn't throw epithets at people. It's not the Rambam, we know that. Because it says, Eidus Hashem Emona Machkim Aspes. That the only thing that gives a person, makes a person wise, is Torah. Without Torah, nobody is wise. Wisdom emanates from Torah. Torah is Hashem Tmima, Shivas Nofesh. Eidus Hashem Nemona, Machkimas Pesi. Pekudi Hashem. Look, we know Meir, he said, Torah brings wisdom. So the Umas Ha'olam, then they missed out on Torah. Marosh Akil is Yaakov, Torah belongs to us. So unfortunately, no matter how great they become, and how accomplished they become under the Rambam's, in the Rambam's interpretation, they still remain Tipshei Umasoy. What can we do? Well, we're different. We know the gift of Torah. But we also know the abilities that Torah gives us in our behaviors. And I don't know if we recognize what we're doing for ourselves when we're struggling that extra hour of learning, when I steal sleep for that extra hour of Amelos Batorah, whether it's the Limud that I learned in Yeshiva in the morning, whether it's an extra Limud, whether it's Agada, whether it's Torah Shebiksav, Torah Shebal Peh, or whatever it is, what Amelos Batorah does for a human. And if we would recognize that, we would be also much more encouraged that we're not as limited as our therapists think we are. I'm just using it as a mashal. I'll explain it. There's a pasuk in Parshas Vayeschana where Moshe Rabbeinu says, and that's Rashi explains, that's when Hashem gave us the gift of Torah Shebal Peh. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Va'oisi tziva Hashem bo'esayu." Hashem commanded me at that time Lelamed Eschem. This is in Perik Dalet. Where is this? Pasuk Yudalet. It's Perik Dalet Pasuk Yudalet in Sefer Dvarim. Va'oisi tzivo Hashem va'esahi l'lamed eskom chukim u'mishpatim. And Rashi says it goes on Torah Shabbal Peh. And then the Pasuk says la'soyschem oisom ba'oretz asher temorim sham olarisht. Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Kisavoy finds this language, la soischem, not colloquial loshem. It should have been written simpler. La soisoiso. What's the chem? That's not the way Torah is usually written. A Kadosh Baruch Hu told me to teach you a chukim and mishpatim that you should do them in the Oretz. That's la soischem oiso. So the Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Kisavo takes these extra two letters, chem, and says that the Torah is teaching us a remes over here. That not only we do the mitzvahs, but through the Torah, and through the Torah Shabbat Peh, we make ourselves. We turn ourselves into the human we're supposed to be. And the Anaf Yosef, from the Farish on the Tanchuma, quotes a Marsha that only through Torah does a person get elevated to the Madrega called Adam. Milvada Torah, if not for the power of Torah, Moiser Adam in a Behema Oyin. A person doesn't fundamentally have abilities that transcend. Meaningful abilities that then transcend the abilities of a Baal Chai. And which means Kipshutoi, the defining difference between a non-human and a human lies in the Indian of Bechira, right? A non-human goes by rote, goes by instinct, goes by impulse. They don't have Bechira. They live on a different level. We have Bechira. And the Medrash is reading into this pasuk that what gives us that power of Bechira is Torah Kadosh. Toiling in Torah, learning Torah, the wisdom of Torah, the exposure to Torah, the whole nine yards that comes with Torah, that gives us the Koyach HaBechira. So yes, There's a big world of denial that a person is a true Baal Bechira. Science doesn't accept it. But fundamentally, science is not an idiot. And he doesn't accept Bechira. But maybe there's no contradiction between science and the truth. Up to Torah, a person is lacking Bechira. But how does science quantify the power of Torah? We can't expect science to quantify the power of Torah. It's something metaphysical. It's not physical. It's not within the confines of science. The power of Torah, the spiritual abilities that Torah infuses in a human being, the horizons that a person could strive for through the powers that Torah gives him are infinite as far as science is concerned. And that's, I think, such an important lesson to internalize and to try to internalize as we enter the stretch run of the Yomim Noroyim. We are Bali Bechira A, because where our nature ends, Siyata Deshmaya begins, and as I state in Rabbeinu Yoina, And as I state in Chazal, but beyond, besides that, even in our natural abilities, let's not measure our natural abilities from a secular standpoint. Let's measure those secular abilities from a person that's infused with a Torah standpoint. And it's a different world. And everybody in this room sacrifices for Limud HaTorah. The fact that you're here is one of the biggest rayos for that. I look around the Beis Medrash and I see, in the few minutes that I was there, I see it. It's not the first time. Guys are Omel BaTorah. Nefesh HaMeila Om Laloi. Goymel Nafshoi. It's for yourself. You're making a human being out of yourself. You're broadening your abilities. You're giving yourself powers that otherwise are elusive to the regular human being. And that's the beauty of being a Ben Torah. And that's the quality of life of being a Ben Torah. And that's why it's a weapon that's so valuable as we're approaching Yom Kippur. We have Bechira. At first glance, that sounds almost fictitious. But if you factor in the concept of Siyata Deshmaya, and if you factor in the Koyach HaTorah, that those of us that expose themselves constantly to Limud HaTorah the way it's meant to be learned, Batuach Ani Be'ela, it gives us tremendous power. And will the Mitzvah Shem persevere? And we should have a successful ending of the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Come into Yom HaKippurim with the right mindset. And with all the Siyata Deshmaya that we've earned, and we should be Zoiche to meaningful tshuva, and to slicha mechila v'kapara, and to gemar chasim v'toiva together with all Kol Beis Yisrael.
I can't do that on your husband.